We're also joined by Rodan Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hi there, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Speaker Mattiello, we're approaching the end of the legislative session. There might be maybe 6 or 7 weeks left. One of the big questions is what will happen to the proposal for a Paul Sox Stadium in Pawtucket. Do you believe that there's a real threat that the team could go to Worcester, or is this a paper tiger?
I don't know. My concern, and so folks know, we're talking to the Paw Sox. We're working on working a deal that I think the taxpayers would be in favor of, and that's my focus. The Paw Sox are a business, and they can decide to take their business wherever they want. I'd prefer them to stay in Rhode Island, but I'm not going to characterize the level of threat that Worcester is, if you want to call it a threat. What I will tell you is we're working currently with the Paw Sox, and if we can negotiate a proposal where the risk is transferred away from the Rhode Island taxpayer, we will do something. And I think we'll do, if the Paw Sox want to stay in Rhode Island, we'll work on making that happen, and we'll make a deal that's favorable to the taxpayer where a lot of the risk is shifted.
Would you be comfortable letting this issue go on until 2019, or do you believe that if the House does not act before the end of its session, that would essentially mean the Paw Sox are headed to Worcester or somewhere else?
I don't know the answer to that. I believe that it's probably appropriate to try to get it done before the end of the session. If we don't for some reason, and I'm not making that prediction, but if we don't for some reason, I would keep talking. So that would be up to the Paw Sox at that point.
Let's go to Scott.
You know, I understand electric boat does contribute a lot of jobs, but here we're giving $20 million in state taxpayer money to a business that really doesn't need it. Let's be honest. They have all this billions of dollars in federal money to build these submarines, and yet we're nickel and diming the Paw Sox. What do you say to people who say there's a double standard there?
Well, I say your question is fair, and we have to scrutinize the credits that we're giving to Electric Boat, just like every tax credit that the state gives out. Tax credits are great. They help create jobs, but they also create a burden, impose a burden on the budget. So, you know, nothing comes without cost, and we have to do an objective analysis and determine what, if any, level of credits we should be giving for those jobs. But
does it upset you that the governor's administration basically shattered the deadline, missed the deadline for analyzing those programs that was supposed to be done last June?
I think that the folks in the administration should stick to deadlines and make sure we have as much information as possible so that we could do a proper analysis.
Speaker, you live in Cranston, and Cranston Mayor Alan Fung points to economic development in that city as an argument for why he would be a good governor. Do you agree with his argument that that shows that he would be an effective governor?
Well, I'm not the most partisan person, Ian, but I will tell you that Cranston is very well run. I'm very pleased with the job he's done in Cranston as mayor. And yes, we've had a lot of development in Cranston, but I leave that to other folks to characterize. I mean, right now, Alan Fung is the mayor of the city of Cranston, and we have a very good working relationship. Myself as a representative and speaker work very closely with the administration in Cranston because we both have a duty to best serve our Cranston residents. And I can tell you he's been good to work with, and Cranston is run very well. And I'm pleased because that's my home city.
Now, you are supporting Gina Raimondo's reelection. Why?
I am. Gina Raimondo has, and I don't agree with everything with Governor Raimondo, but she's worked very hard on improving the economy. My mantra has been jobs in the economy, and we've got more jobs. The governor is working hard, and she's very dynamic. So I will tell you that no two people agree on everything, and the Lord knows we have our disagreements, but she's working hard in that regard, and she generally does a pretty good job, and I support Governor Raimondo.
We're talking here with House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello, and I'd like to ask about one of the other issues that was decided recently by the Board of Elections. There was a campaign mailer that went out in 2016 in which one of your former Republican opponents, Shauna Lawton, endorsed you. You say you were not aware that some of your campaign aides were involved in coordinating with Lawton on the mailer, but the board said that coordination was a violation. Do you believe that your ignorance about that, not knowing that your aides were working on that, absolves you of legal responsibility in that matter?
Well, the board said it does. I mean, the board issued a warning, and I agree that you should not coordinate. I will say this. A warning was, you know, I believe appropriate because I did some things wrong in the campaign. And what I did wrong is not focus enough on details. And I ran a big campaign. I think it was inefficient. It was sloppy. I didn't manage it the way I think I should have. I was concentrating more on knocking on doors than managing the daily operation. I run a law practice during the day. I left my law practice and knocked on doors till night, till I was exhausted, went home, and repeated the same process over again. So, quite frankly, I didn't manage my own campaign, and a lot of things resulted that I did not like. So, this time around, I will manage my own campaign personally, and I will handle every decision irrespective of how exhausted I am. And I do recognize that that was a shortcoming, but what you don't know, you can't control and you can't deal with. So, yes, generally speaking, in the law of jurisprudence, if you don't know something, you can't be held accountable for it, and that should be the way things are. But I am responsible for not paying enough attention to details that I think I should have.
Mr. Speaker, just quickly, the women's groups, as you know, among them a lot of your Democratic reps, say that this is the year that we should codify abortion rights in state law in case the U.S. Supreme Court overturns the Roe v. Wade standard. Governor Raimondo was here last week. She said, yes, this should be done. What do you think?
Well, I see no effort nationally to change the Roe v. Wade standard. So I believe that's
a— Wait a minute. There's a new law in almost every state every day and a new court case challenging it, it seems.
Well, I haven't seen the law or the court case. And if there is, please bring it to my attention at some point. But I have not seen the court case that challenges Roe v. Wade. I mean, some states are trying to limit it. But that's not what the concern is. The concern is an overturn of Roe v. Wade, and there's no case in the system anywhere. So I don't think it's a real concern. And I just remind folks that this is a very divisive issue on both sides. And, you know, it's an issue that would utilize all of the oxygen in the room. And we've got significant budget challenges. We've got the poor socks we're working on. We've got important bills that are of concern to a lot of people. And I choose to concentrate on everything and not to utilize every drop of ounce of oxygen on one particular issue, which is not of consequence either way. For everybody that wants that, there's almost someone that doesn't want it. So it's just divisive for no real end, no real benefit either way. It's in my opinion, irrelevant. And I don't say that in disregard to the wants of people, because I know the issue is very important to people. I say irrelevant because Roe v. Wade is not going to be overturned. I think that's a concern that's not founded in reality.
One of the members of the House of Representatives, Aaron Regenberg, is challenging Lieutenant Governor Dan McKee this year. Are you going to support Aaron Regenberg's campaign?
I have made no determinations. Aaron is a colleague in the House. I like Aaron. I've worked very well with Aaron, but Dan McKee has done a pretty good job as the lieutenant governor. He's the incumbent, so I have made no personal determinations at this point.
A related question, the progressive movement seems to be strengthening in Rhode Island. There are a lot of progressives who hope to increase their ranks in the House and Senate this year. Are you concerned about the fallout from that?
I am not concerned at all. Every incumbent has to run on the record, and I believe that we've got, all of the incumbents, based on the work we've done over the last several years, have a strong record to talk about, and the state is moving in the right direction. And I think people want to continue the work that we've started. So, everybody has to speak their own message in their own race. But I think that message is going to be strong, and I'm very confident that we'll keep moving in the right direction.
The teachers union continuing contract issue, the so-called evergreen contracts, I know you've been a supporter in the past. Governor Raimondo, of course, vetoed the bill. Are you going to bring it back this year and send it back to the governor?
I don't see any big push for it this year. I think that's generally been the practice. We did support it last year. I don't think it's as significant a deal as some folks did. I mean, the practice that I've always remembered that goes back well beyond my introduction to government was that contracts were continued until a new contract was entered into. It's a respectful way of doing business, and that's changed at some point in a very few communities. So the teachers' unions wanted that. I understand that. I thought it was reasonable. You know, we'll see. But I'm not seeing a big push to have it come back this year.
You have a pragmatic profile as Speaker, and that could be a reflection of how you have to balance how you have both liberal and conservative members in the House of Representatives. So I wonder, on the gun issue, we've seen how the House supported the so-called red flag bill and a ban on bump stocks, and it remains to be seen if the House will approve a ban on semi-automatic rifles and large capacity magazines. Some might say there's a balancing act where the first two measures have passed, but the latter two will not pass as a way of kind of balancing the issue. Is that a correct analysis?
Well, I thank you for pointing out that I try to be analytical, and I do on every issue, and the issues will be addressed from the point of view of how will that help society. When you're asking someone to compromise their constitutional rights, it has to have a real palatable effective benefit. And if it doesn't, just because someone wants to do it because it feels good or it's their ideology is not an adequate reason to do it. So we're doing the analysis. I'm going to be as analytical as I always am, and we'll confer with our committee members, our committee chair, and all of our colleagues, and we'll make a determination that there's a consensus for.
And we're almost out of time here, Speaker Mattiello, but I have one final question for you. If Stephen Frias, your legislative opponent from 2016, or any other candidate announces a challenge for your state rep seat, is there any chance this year that you will not seek re-election as state rep?
I love the job of state rep. I've been speaker for 4 years. I'm very proud of what we've accomplished. I started off my speakership by saying the focus would be jobs and the economy. I'm proud of the fact that we've stuck to that and we're moving the state in the right direction. We still have some work to do. I'm proud of the car tax phase out. I want to make sure that gets done, or if it's not fully implemented before I leave, it will be reversed. There's no doubt in my mind. So I have some work to finish. I intend to finish it. We have a democracy. So, you know, if someone wants to run for my seat, that's their choice. And I'll have a conversation with my constituents, and it's up to them to decide who they want to send. And I respect whatever decision they give. But I am absolutely going to run again because I love the job. I love serving. And we have unfinished business.
That's all the time we've got. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Great to be here.
And Rhode Island House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello.
Thank you, Ian. My pleasure.